And just to be clear, I didn't come from Florida or Guadalajara. And I've shivered a bit. I'm trying this year, maybe you could call it a resolution, I'm trying not to complain about winter. And while it's been fairly mild this winter for us, it is still winter. Let's read, please, in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, and in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. I think that's the best way to read it. It isn't the commandments of us. It's the commandments of the Lord that was communicated through these men. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly forget or are ignorant of, that by the word of the Lord the heavens were of old. Don't just slur over that. This is amazing. This is creatorial power in a scope that we have nothing to compare with. The heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, overwhelmed, overcome, overdone with water. And millions perished. I wonder if it moves us at all to think of that old world that suffered the wrath of God in the flood. So it says, this they willingly were ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing under the water, and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt, shall be dissolved with fervent heat. The earth also. That's where we are right now. And the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? I want to read that again, because this is where my focus really lies today. This is what struck me so forcibly as I read it. What manner of persons ought we to be, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved? Notice, please, verse 12. Verse 11. Ought ye to be in all holy living, consecrated living, and godliness, taking God into account in everything we adjust our lives, looking for earnestly is the sense, earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. Not for better stuff here. But we're looking for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace. And verse 15 also tells us truths that we should consider. But for right now, let's just stop there and consider what we have before us. What manner of persons ought we to be? In view of all this, seeing these things, discerning these things, understanding that there is coming a day when all that we know and all that we see and all that we experience here will be burned up. It's all going to go. Every last bit of it. Everything that men cling to in their folly. Everything that they count essential to their comfort. It's all going to go. I looked around in a house not too recently. And it struck me. What if there was none of this here? Going to happen. This is no lie. I want you to notice, first of all, what we have behind us. He speaks early on in this passage about the holy prophets and the apostles. The holy prophets were men who were in tune with God and able to write down for us scriptures of truth and to show us the way God would deal with us, just as he has dealt with others. We have the apostles, those who walked with the Lord Jesus, and those who heard his personal call, and those that they found direction through. And as a result, we've been given the living word of the living God. And we've been reminded of how blessed and important it is to the life of every believer. And I think, too, as Peter's speaking here, he's reminded in his thoughts of these people. And he can tell that there was a sincerity in their minds to go after, to seek truth. And to honestly go after the glory of God. And I believe if I stand here today, and by the way, I never get used to standing up here. And it's no place to take for granted. I hope in some ways I consider it a holy mission to try and implant and to speak of truths that are so vital to our well-being as believers. And not only then, but now. Is it not true that we're seeking, we're longing that God's truth would stand out in our lives and in our service, and that God's glory might be a result? What we have behind us, we have a heritage. I was talking to some folks who were here the first time I ever visited Jackson. Well, there's a few of you around. Is it really 41 years past? They're still here. They're still going on. And they carry the torch. And they've been an example. And some of them are still an example to God's people. And it's a wonderful thing to see and to have that kind of person in our lives. And we have that as a heritage that cost us nothing. But we have it. And it's precious. Once you notice, secondly, what we face around us. Secretary General U Thant of, I don't know how else to say his name than that, but of the United Nations years ago said, I believe that we have a rendezvous with an unspeakable terror. Would to God men realized it still. The doomsday clock is something that is set every year. 2014, it was set at 5 minutes to midnight. In other words, the possibilities and the potential for a nuclear catastrophe or for a tremendous, tremendous cataclysm was in their minds and thoughts, the thoughts of men who have made science their life, and they said 5 minutes to midnight is where we stand. 2015, they set it at 3 minutes to midnight. 2016, January 26th, it stays, it remains 3 minutes to midnight. Do we really believe that? I mean, I know that those men are not all godly believers by a long shot. But maybe there's some of them there, and they recognize the signs and the signals of a coming disaster. Here it speaks of those that we face around us in these terms. It says they are willfully ignorant, ungodly. Look at the words, scoffers, living arrogant lives, following what or who may be their pleasure for the moment, whatever it is, indulgent. And we read their targeted statements against the believer. And against God. And they're quite quick to say, there's no God. And we can't find any evidence that God has ever been involved in this world. And we read in our Bibles, in the last days, perilous, grievous times will come. And that these times are grievous to God. Brothers and sisters, those of us who are aware of divine things, we must find them grievous, perilous as well. And that's what we face in our world. Just as these believers were reminded. And speaking of that, we have what we're reminded about. You'll notice, it must have been so easy to forget. These people were passing through difficulties. And maybe we could say that because of the challenges of life and persecution and being stripped of many of their resources, that these people perhaps could easily somehow be so involved with the stuff that was going on that it slipped from their mind, that it escaped them, and they needed to be reminded. And Peter says, I'm reminding you even this second. Imagine forgetting something twice. Maybe as I, what was that word? Mature? Maybe as I mature, I find that there are more gaps and slips in my memory than there were. But for the child of God to forget what a paramount importance our lives really have in God's scheme of things. To forget the vital reality of what we are in this day and in this age. I know they were passing through difficulties, and some of God's people here have passed through deep waters. And sometimes we get discouraged and we feel the burden and the weight of life. The challenges sometimes overwhelm us. And sometimes there are tears. And sometimes there are hurts that it's hard to rise up after. But all that being true, how could we ever forget What he lists here, if you look in verse 7, he's reminding us of his power. Oh, that mighty power created all with such glory. Speaking of his worth, of his majesty. He reminds us again in verse 7 of his prepared plan. He has a plan, and that plan will be not only implemented, but it will be carried out in all its detail according to his mind. Notice not only his prepared mind, but notice he reminds us in verse 8 of his perspective. That's not ours. You know, time has a different kind of importance to God. And it seems as though his planning doesn't always fit our plans. And he reminds us in the book of Isaiah, doesn't he? Your thoughts are not my thoughts. I'm afraid sometimes that is so painfully obvious. It's enough to make the godly cry out, "Oh Lord, how long?" Sometimes we get so distracted. Sometimes we fail to remember his perspective on things is always right. Notice not only that, but if you look in verse 9, you can see his patience. And that patience he speaks of is toward us. Towards us. And it's in reference to the world, his purpose for all in verse 8, that they might be saved. Can I ask you a question? It's been searching my own heart recently. Have we lost our confidence in the gospel of the grace of God? So that we are so afraid to reach out with the gospel because it might fail. That we don't preach it at all. Or we preach it less. Or we feel its burden somehow is too great for us. Notice his purpose for all, that they might be saved, that they might come to repentance. Notice again in verse 10 what we're reminded of, his program, his dealings with man will come into play. And I almost hesitate to use that word. It will be implemented. How hard are we counting on his promises? How real are his promises and purposes to you and to me? How much have we entered into the glory of his timing? And all those things that concern his holy heart. How much does it matter to us? Does it matter enough to us that we are doing all that we can to see his will, his purpose, to see men and women around us saved by his grace, their lives changed to glorify the great name that is taken upon them? Some might consider God to be slacking, forgetful. What about us? Oh, that it might search our hearts, every one of us today. How much does it matter to us? How much confidence we have in this one who has shown us his power, who has revealed his plan, who has such purposes of grace towards mankind. Is God forgetting? Oh, no. You notice in verse 10, it's all going to go, brethren. Everything that we've invested in, what was your term this morning? Everything that we've invested in here, it's all going to go. All in one big noise. The Big Bang Theory was developed in 1931 by a man named George LeMaitre. It's still hanging around. The Big Bang was not in the past. The Big Bang is coming up on God's schedule real soon. A great noise. Melted. Burned up. Look at the words. Dissolve. Pass away. Gone. It's all going to go. And could I use a reminder from the dim, distant past? Only what's done for Christ will last. I want you to notice in verse 11 and verse 14 what we need to examine. You know, no one but believers can see things this way. And then only if we turn our eyes upon God and His Word. It's no wonder unbelievers live the way they do. No wonder at all. Unbelievers are so blind to their destiny. If they could just see ahead, hey, wait a minute. Do we see what God says is going to take place? Do we understand that the things that we have placed value on in this life, in this world, it's going to go big time? Swept away, pulled from our grasp. The comfort zone will be pulled out from underneath us. And nobody can make a life change for you but you. What are we living for? What's the big question? What manner of persons ought we to be? God's very interested in our persons. God takes note of what we are. God is very interested in what we have attained, sure. But God is very concerned about what we are as His people. And we're reminded here, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What kind of people should we be? What kind of person should I be? Am I that kind of person? What kind of person am I, after all? Here's the question. What manner of persons ought we be? Ought we to be? Am I that today in prospect? Knowing that the stuff that matters is the eternal stuff. Knowing that values that count are heaven's values. Knowing that the blessings that really have value are the ones that God bestows. Knowing the life that shines before Him is the life that takes up His cause and lives for His glory and manifests His honor and despises the stuff that might hinder. Are we there now? I want you to think lastly about what responsibility we have before us. Verse 13 tells us of a holy manner of life. Not very highly prized in this world, is it? How about in your friends? Is that what they're going in for? Can you see their purpose, their design, their plan, their will yielded so that this is what counts with them? What manner of persons ought we to be? God says, holy. A holy manner of life. Now, I'm afraid that some of us, as we sit and listen to that word holy, we're kind of thinking in something that's very ascetic, static, something that doesn't do anything, just kind of sits there and is holy. I don't think that for a minute. This is a life that's consecrated. A life that's set apart for God a life that's set apart all right from the wickedness, but what were we hearing? Take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Have you ever come to that crisis point in your life? As I speak to young people today, I know I'm the mature guy. But your life has such potential. So very much possibility. God has a keen interest in what you are and where you go. We've heard about a little of that already. What manner of persons ought we to be in a holy manner of life? That's outward. You know, we live in a world where there's a lot that's outward. And some of it's, you'll have to forgive the mature guy. But to me, some of it's disgusting. And I'm not just talking about a world that has lost its moral base. I'm talking about Christians, and you might dispute this with me. It's gone sports mad. Do you really think that matters? You know, if I was to stop somebody on the way into a big stadium and say, where are you going? Oh, this is the big game. I mean, this is it. This is an important one. This is an important game. Somehow those two words don't fit too well with me. How can you measure importance if you haven't taken eternity into account? How can you see what's really, really going to matter if you haven't spent time in His presence? In all holy manner of life. Notice not only that, but He speaks about godly. That's more than outward. That's way more than outward. Before every decision, what I consider Him, what pleases Him, what He would smile about to see, what joy it would bring His heart. Holy manner of life and godly, much more than outward. Notice not only that, but thirdly, I think the thing is also mentioned about living by faith here. He talks about earnest looking. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. Looking forward. I wonder how our vision is. Now, I have a little problem with my vision in one eye. I have to admit, I'm kind of scared if it was to get any worse. I sure wouldn't have written the notes in my Bible so small if I'd known. You know, all joking aside, am I really looking for His promise? Am I really living for His glory? You see, that shows, it shows our confidence in His promise. It shows where we put our weight down in Him and in His word, in His plan, in His purpose. Are we living as though we expected the Lord at any moment? Or have we forgotten? Well, we have behind us those holy apostles and prophets that have given us the word of God as truth for us. Oh, what a fortress, a buttress against the attacks of the enemy. What we face around us, what a world we live in. And I'm not saying that the struggle isn't difficult. I'm not saying that at times we couldn't be overwhelmed by a world that's all planned and purposed to drag us down or to take us down, take us out. But we're reminded about His power. And His purpose. And His perspective. all of those things ought to stir our hearts. What we need to examine quite simply today is this. What manner of person ought we to be? May God bless us.